All right, guys, welcome to the Evangelism Seminar, Redeemer Evangelism Seminar. So glad you guys all came out today. My name is Tom, if you don't know me, and today we're going to have a mix of practical and theological help with evangelism. And the hope is that we can learn from each other, and we can learn from God's Word, and leave more equipped to share the gospel with others. So let me pray for us, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. God, we praise you for the gospel. We praise you, Lord, that you have put us in a place that we were able to hear the gospel, and you opened our eyes, Lord, to believe the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that the gospel is true and that Jesus Christ has rose from the dead, and we have hope in him, and we have eternal life. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this time. Please use this time to bring glory to your name. And I pray that you would equip us and convict us and empower us, Lord, to share the gospel with others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let me tell you some of the things I hope for our time together today. Firstly, I hope that our time will inform you, that we will become more informed to what is evangelism, how do we share the gospel with others, that we'll be awakened about the glory of God and the hope of the gospel. Pray that we will be convicted and challenged and encouraged, and also that we would just learn from each other today, so take practical steps. And also, I wanted to just thank Brian, who put all these slides together and did all the graphics, so props to him. And we have this on here, not because you can't hear, but because we wanted to record it. So, yeah. So to start off, I would like to give you a little introduction to evangelism, kind of in a broad way. Evangelism. I once went to a church service, and the preacher gave a whole sermon on evangelism and never defined what evangelism was. And I had a new Christian friend with me, and he didn't know what evangelism was. So I thought, I better start off by defining what evangelism is. I got this definition from J.I. Packer. He says, evangelism is preaching the gospel, the evangel, the good news. It is a work of communication in which Christians make themselves mouthpieces for God's message of mercy to sinners. Anyone who faithfully delivers that message under whatever circumstances, in a large meeting, a small meeting, from a pulpit, or in a private conversation, is evangelizing. He goes on to say, evangelism is going out in love as Christ's agent in the world to teach sinners the truth of the gospel with a view of converting and saving them. So evangelism is preaching the gospel, hoping to convert sinners and that they may be saved, that they may know Christ. It's a spiritual discipline, like prayer, like Bible study, like tithing, and it's something that we can all grow in and we can all learn in, that we're all called to do. So on the next slide, there's a scale, and I would like you to think about where you are at on the scale as far as evangelism goes. So maybe you have never shared the gospel, never talked to another person about Jesus before. Maybe it's something that very seldomly you do, maybe occasionally, or for you it's frequently. So think about where do you fall on the scale? Where are you at right now? Kind of tell you my testimony. Growing up, I grew up going to church, but I never really heard the gospel. And I had a friend of mine, and we were playing basketball once at his place, and he started talking to me about Jesus. And I thought it was really weird. Like, why are you talking about church and Jesus outside of church? And I wasn't a Christian, so that was kind of where I was at. And then I went to college, and I met some people, some Christians, and they shared the gospel with me, and I believed. But sharing the gospel was a very scary idea. The group I was in is called Campus Crusade, and they're all about going and talking to people about Jesus. And so they would go out, and they would meet random strangers on campus, and they would tell them the gospel. And I remember going out the first time, and I was so scared, I didn't even say a word. I just let the other guy do all the talking. And then we did it again, and I got a little more courageous. But in my Christian walk, I've seen myself grow in that area. So I became involved in ministry on campus, and we started sharing the gospel with people in the dorms. And I had a rock band, and we would go and play in bars and sing songs about Jesus. And so it became more of a frequent thing for me. And now since I've moved to Wheaton, I'm in Wheaton College, kind of in a bubble of Christians. And so I don't meet as many non-Christians. I have to kind of step outside, really plan that. So for me, I've swung to frequently to now it's more occasionally. But always looking for more opportunities. So when you think about evangelism, there's many different methods, right? There are your more formal outreaches. You think of those kind of like it's a planned event, and you have tracts, you have Bibles. Sometimes people share the gospel through friendships. You make friends with people at school, friends with people at work, and you have them over, and you share the gospel with them. Sometimes some of your family members aren't Christians, and you share the gospel with them. Evangelism can be planned, and it can be impromptu. Sometimes you just sense the Spirit leading you, and you meet a stranger on the bus, or meet a stranger somewhere else, and you can share the gospel there. Other times, it's very planned. You can meet up with somebody for coffee and say, I want to talk to you about Jesus. So evangelism takes a variety of forms. One way, within the last 20 years or so, social media is a great way to evangelize. You know, most of us have Facebook accounts or Twitter accounts, and so you can just throw a verse up there or something God is teaching you, and social media is a great way that a lot of people are sharing the gospel now. Another way of encouragement, too, in evangelism, sometimes different seasons of life present different challenges and different strengths. When you're a student, you have loads of time and loads of freedom, in ways that when you're older and you're working, you don't. And so when you're younger, you may have more time. You can share the gospel. When you're older, you may not have as much time. When I was in college, I was surrounded by people that were really interested in learning. So talking about Jesus and asking what are their spiritual beliefs was very easy. But then when I started working, people were more grounded and didn't want to talk about it as much. And so I had to be more proactive, maybe meet them outside of work to talk to them about the gospel. So different seasons, different factors, and different challenges. Speaking of challenges, I just wanted to highlight a list of what are the challenges that prevent us from telling people about Jesus. Well, firstly, we may think of sin. So when we struggle with sin, it hinders us in all of our disciplines, right? When we're struggling in sin, it's hard to pray, it's hard to fellowship, it's hard to do all kinds of things, but definitely hard to evangelize when you're struggling with sin. It's hard to share the gospel with somebody when you're really like overcome with jealousy about them or coveting or something like that. So sin can stand in the way. Another challenge is fear. Now, fear, we may be afraid of what people think of us, and that may hinder us from sharing the gospel. We may be afraid of hurting a relationship. You know, if maybe we think that I'm good friends with this person. If I bring up Jesus, it'll scare them away. It'll be really offensive. Or we're afraid of looking like the weirdo. You know, oh, that's that weird guy that talks about Jesus all the time. So that's a fear that we have and can hinder us from sharing the gospel. Another challenge is spiritual warfare. Like sharing the gospel, we believe as Christians that we live, that there is a spiritual reality, that there's good and there's evil, and sharing the gospel, we are engaging in spiritual warfare. And in that, you can fall into the error of over-spiritualizing. You can say, well, if God wants me to share the gospel with somebody, he's going to make it happen. And then you get so locked into this supernatural, mystical thing that's going to happen that you never really share the gospel. And so you can over-spiritualize it. and then never really talk to somebody because you're waiting for some kind of supernatural sign. Or you can under-spiritualize it. You can fall into the idea of this person will be converted if I have the right methods and the right arguments. And so that is also a mistake, because being converted is a supernatural act of God. And the Holy Spirit awakens somebody and they become a Christian and they're regenerated. So you could fall into the errors on both sides. Other challenges, culture. If you are unaware of the culture, you will offend people and they will stop listening. Or you may use so much Christian jargon that the person you're talking to doesn't understand you. If you're talking to somebody on the street and you say, you know, the almighty, omnipotent creator of the universe has made a way for you to have propitiation with the only begotten Son of God. Would you like to experience this evangelistic message? They wouldn't understand that at all, right? So we have to think about, how are we talking? How are we describing God? But we can also fall on the other side of being overly concerned about being culturally sensitive. And that we get to a point where we don't really share the gospel, because the gospel is offensive to the culture. The culture does not want to hear that it is in sin and needs Jesus. So we can fall into that either way. Another challenge is idolatry. So if we have idols in our hearts, it's going to prevent us from sharing the gospel. Another one would be priorities. If we're too busy, it's hard to find time to share the gospel. Or we may not be proactive. Other challenges, prayer. We've got to pray. Pray that God opens doors for the gospel. And theological, if our understanding of the gospel is misshaped, if we don't understand what the gospel message is and how God is using us, it may lead us down astray. For instance, if we're overly zealous in our Calvinism, if we're hyper-Calvinistic, we believe that God ordains and he causes every single thing to happen, we may fall into this theology where we think that we don't need to evangelize, because God is, if that person is going to become a Christian, God's going to do it. And I don't have to do anything because God is sovereign. A famous story, they don't know if it's actually true or not, but there was a missionary to India named William Carey, and he went back to his church in England, and he says, there's millions of people here that need to hear the gospel, and we should go and share. And the pastor was being overly hyper-Calvinistic, and he said, sit down. If God wants to save them, he will. And so that's wrong. We don't want to do that. We want to have a good theological understanding. So as you heard all of those challenges, you personally, what, think about it for a minute, maybe, what kind of challenge is most hindering you from sharing the gospel? As you heard those, what is holding you back from doing it? Give a dramatic pause. I'll drink my water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can relate to that. Yeah. The second half of this seminar, we're going to ask that question, and I want you guys to kind of share that with each other. So the second half is more interactive. First half is more of me talking. So think about that, and think about how the gospel overcomes that, how we have victory in Christ. So now I want to give you guys a theological foundation for evangelism. And it's in five parts. And the hope is that this foundation will encourage you to have a Christian perspective on evangelism and a Christian perspective on why we do it, who we are in Christ. So we'll talk about the truth, talk about our identity in Christ, the task, our motivation, and the method. So firstly, truth. As Christians, we believe that there is a true reality outside of our perspective, found in the Bible, found in Christ, in the gospel. As you think about the idea of truth, most people define two different types of truth. You can have subjective truth, and what subjective truth is truth that's determined by your opinion. It's saying, like, you could say statements like, ice cream is tasty, or the Scarecrow Fest is fun, or that shirt looks good. Those are all subjective truth statements, and we make them all the time. And our culture, I'll get back to this in a minute, but our culture is ruled by subjective truth statements and often mixes up those and tries to make those kind of statements about Christianity. But the other kind of truth is objective truth. Objective truth is true regardless of our opinion. So it's statements like 2 plus 2 equals 4, or A is not non-A. So they're true regardless of whose opinion and what people think of it. Our culture has a tendency to make subjective truth statements in a way that will say, whatever you believe about God works for you, but I believe this, and it works for me. And so our culture tells us that the ultimate reality of God is subjective. You guys are Christians. You believe Jesus is God. That works. But we're over here, we're Muslims, and we believe he's not God. And over here, we're just secular humanists. We believe what we want. But everyone has a piece of the truth, and they can believe what they want. That's subjective truth claims. But as Christians, we believe that the gospel is true outside of anyone's opinion, outside of anyone's perspective, and that there's an objective reality rooted in the gospel, and that that Jesus is God, and it's objectively true no matter what anyone says. The gospel is true no matter who likes it and who doesn't. So our foundation, we believe, is objective. We're not just saying that Christianity works for us, and that's cool, you can do what you want, but as Christians, we believe it's true, despite who disagrees, that the gospel is true. And so, in that, the gospel summarizes this picture of reality, and part of evangelizing is delivering the lost from the lies of Satan, the culture and flesh. So we all hear lies from the culture and Satan and sinful nature, but the gospel part of that is liberating people to hear the true truth. So what is the gospel? I want to talk about that. We believe the gospel is true. When you're sharing the gospel, when you think about the gospel, J.I. Packer says that there's four main elements. You need to talk about God, sin, Christ, and response. So firstly, you want to talk about God. When you're thinking about the gospel, we believe that God is a creator God. And it says in Genesis 1 that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that God is the creator of everything. The scriptures tell us that God is holy. He is different. He is pure. We believe that God is all-powerful, that he holds the universe in place, that he is worthy of our worship, deserving of it, and he is the ruler of the universe. So when you talk about the gospel, talk about God. We believe that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all owe our existence to him. Secondly, when you talk about the gospel, or when you share the gospel, you need to talk about sin. Sin is is offending God. And that's the best way, easiest way to describe it. It's offending God. It's breaking his law. It's going against his commandments. One helpful way I've heard of it is the effects of sin can be described in four levels of corruption. Sin affects our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is broken, and we make false gods, and we have a hard time understanding who he is. Sin breaks our relationship with humans. So you can see that in often you'll have discord or you'll you get in arguments, and there's sin between each other. Sin also affects us as we think about who we are. See all kinds of psychological problems. We think badly of ourselves, or we think too highly of ourselves. It corrupts ourself. And you see sin in the environment and how we just trash the earth. So sin is all-encompassing. It's also important to talk about that there's true guilt, that because we believe that the gospel is true, that our offense makes us truly guilty, and it breaks our relationship with God. The third important element of the gospel is Christ. When you share the gospel, you want to talk about Jesus, that you believe he is the Savior, and talk about his saving work. So Jesus, the Son of God, God became a man, and he dwelt on earth. He lived a perfect life, and his righteousness is given to us. And he died on the cross. He took the wrath of God. He took all of our guilt, all of our filth was placed on Jesus. And we have a right relationship with God through Christ and through Christ alone, not through our works. So when you share the gospel, make sure you talk about Jesus. As Christians, we believe it's all about Jesus, right? So we have to talk about Christ. And the fourth element is response. What will a person do? As Christians, we believe that when a person is convicted of their sins, they repent, they turn away, and they believe in the finished work of Christ. So when you're sharing the gospel with people, tell them that is the response. That is what you do. And urge them to repent and to believe. I think the more that we understand theology, the more we read our scriptures and know God, the more all of these things make sense to us. And when we talk to non-Christians, the scriptures are more just there. They're easier to say. So we want to talk about God. We want to talk about sin. We want to talk about Christ. And we want to urge people to respond. That's our first element of the foundation. The second element of our foundation is our identity. Now, our identity is we're ambassadors of reconciliation. Reconciliation, that means making things right. So if something was wrong, making it right. So to be an ambassador of reconciliation is to proclaim the message of making things right in the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So what I want you to get from that is God has made us a new creation, already not yet. We're already new, but what we will be is not quite what we are yet. But we are new in Christ, and we're his ambassadors. So we have the message from God, and we bring it to the world. In thinking about that, you may be tempted to say, well, but I'm not a pastor, or I'm not an evangelist. You know, those are the guys that share the gospel. So in the next slide, just emphasizing who is responsible to evangelize. In the scriptures, if we're ambassadors, we're all called to evangelize. We're all called to share the gospel. And some people may do it full-time vocationally, and others of us, we're full-time working or we're full-time students. But I think a good way to summarize it is that all of us are missionaries in a unique culture. If you're a high school or middle school student, your mission field are your other students around you. If you're working a job, that's your mission field. If you have friends in a football pool at work, those guys, that's your mission field. So we're all missionaries, and we all have a message. So one thing I want you to think about is, do you view yourself as God's ambassador to the lost? As you think about non-Christians around you, do you see yourself as an ambassador? So think about that. The third point of our foundation is the task. Our task is to make disciples of all nations and glorify God by sharing the gospel. So the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, says this, "And Jesus came to them and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So our task is to make disciples. We're ambassadors sharing the gospel, and we go out and we make disciples. We tell people about Jesus. We help them to grow and understand who Jesus is, how to read the scriptures, how to understand the Bible. So our commission is to go out to the ends of the earth and share the gospel. And right now we're in St. Charles, so we're a long ways away from Israel where this was first commissioned. And now the gospel has come to us and we share it, and the kingdom of God expands here in St. Charles. So we take part in the Great Commission here in America. So we have truth, we have our identity, we have our task. Two more elements. I want to talk about motivation. So our part of the theological foundation is our motivation. Now, why do we do it? Why do we share the gospel? Well, we do it because we love God and we love the lost. Psalm 67 is a great psalm. Just kind of read that. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." As I've thought about this, I think it's important that we do it because we love God. We want to bring him glory. So if God has called us to share the gospel with others, we do that because we love God. And we want to please him. And we want to bring him glory. Look at those first three verses. "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us." We delight in God. And so we want to please him through our obedience. But secondly, we want others to know God, and we love them. And so part of the motivation, I think, is rooted in caring for the lost. As Christians, we believe that those outside of Christ are lost in this life and in the next. And that if you're outside of Christ, you are doomed to an eternity in hell and to a life on this earth apart from God. And so I think as we consider their state, our heart, it melts. And as we think about the challenges that stop us, we're moved to go past that and share the gospel with them. So in doing evangelism, I think it's important to remember that we do it because we love God and we love the lost. John Piper has this cool quote. He says that missions exist because worship doesn't. And in verse 4, "Let the nations be glad. Our non-Christian friends will not experience true joy and worship of the only true God unless they know Jesus, unless they're reconciled to God through Christ." So we want them to be truly glad and truly right and reconciled with God. So we have truth, we have our identity, we have our tasks and our motivation. Finally, I want to talk about our method before we move into the practical side. Our method is rooted in power in the gospel, prayer, and God's sovereignty. So firstly, there's power in the message. We believe that the gospel is true, and as we preach it, God uses the gospel to open people's eyes to him. And so there's a good passage in 1 Corinthians. It reads this, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. So what Paul's getting at here is the word of the cross, the gospel, is foolishness to the world. The Jews in his day, they wanted miracles. The Greeks wanted wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to both. And in our culture wants a Jesus who tolerates our sin and accepts us and says that we can do anything that we want. And as we preach the gospel, it's offensive, but we preach it because it's true. And and many people will stumble because it doesn't fit what they want, but the power is in the message, the power is in the cross. So, power's in the gospel message. Secondly, the prayer is very important as we think about our methodology, as we think about how we want to share the gospel. There's two key passages, I think. Paul talks about prayer and praying that God would open a door to share the gospel. In Colossians, at near the end of his letter, he says, "At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak." So here you see him praying that God would open the door for evangelism and that Paul would speak clearly. In Ephesians 6, Paul says something similar. He says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So here you see boldness. So you have Paul prays that God would open the door and that he would speak clearly, and also that God would open the door and he would speak boldly. So as we think about methodology, it's important that we pray and then we ask God to open the door. So practically, as you think about your non-Christian friends and you pray for them, sometimes the door just isn't open and you try to talk to them, but they're very resistant. And what we're called to do is just continue to pray. Pray for them and pray that God opens a door and gives us wisdom. Finally, the last part of this methodology, I think, is we need to trust in God's sovereignty. When you read Acts 13, the church, the apostles were preaching the gospel, and all these people got converted. And at the end of chapter 13, we read, Luke tells us, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of God. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed." So there's this element that those whom God chose, they believed. And so God's sovereignty, his predestination is at work, and those who were appointed to eternal life believed. And we don't know who they are, God knows, but we preach the gospel and people get converted. So as if we believe that God is sovereign and he can open up people's eyes to the truth, we have strength to move forward. And also, I think it gives us peace, because as you think about your lost family member or friend that doesn't know Jesus, your heart breaks for them as they're apart from God. And you can get it's easy to fall into anxiety. Like, man, I wish they would know Christ. If only I preached better, if only I did this or that. But the Bible presents a picture that God is sovereign, and God's got to be the one who opens their eyes. Also, I think this truth empowers us to share the gospel, because He is the one who is predestined. He's the one who will open their eyes. So we step out in faith and we be faithful, but God is the one who opens their eyes and regenerates them. So we have truth in the gospel. The gospel is true no matter what the culture says. God, sin, Christ, and response. We want to emphasize that. Secondly, we have our identity. We're ambassadors for Christ. Our task is to complete the Great Commission, share the gospel to the ends of the earth. Our motivation is that we love God and we love the lost. And our method is rooted in the power of the message, prayer as God opens doors, and trusting in God's sovereignty. So as you think about those 5 points, which in your minds, don't say it out loud, but which of these do you struggle to believe the most? Is it truth? You know, is it your identity in Christ? Do you really believe the task that God has given us, the Great Commission? Is it motivation or method? So, that concludes the first half of the seminar. This next half is much more interactive. Now we're going to talk about practically, how do we share the gospel? And I want to have this next time to be a time of discussing with each other, kind of wrestling through how we can become more just better at sharing the gospel. And there'll be a time of kind of practicing a little bit on each other. And we'll end by kind of planning and trying to be more strategic about how we can share the gospel. So what I would like to do now is, because I'd like to split us up to maybe to 2 groups, and we're gonna ask some questions. So maybe people in the row 4 back, so from Joe's row back, if you guys kind of talk to each other, and the first 3 rows, you guys talk to each other, and I'm gonna ask a series of questions, and I want you to talk with each other and answer them, and then we'll kind of get back. So ask these first 3 questions to each other and kind of go around and do that. So if you need to reposition yourself, you can do that. So let's cue those questions. Firstly, you'll ask, what's been your experience with evangelism? Where are you at on the scale? Secondly, what do you find most challenging about talking to others about Jesus? And third, what's been the most rewarding evangelistic experience? And so, yeah, take a few minutes, like 5 minutes, and talk to each other and share. So position yourself, and let's do that for the next 5, 10 minutes. All right, guys. We'll bring it back. You guys ready? Hopefully that was an encouraging time of hearing about how we all, like many other people, struggle with the same things. But we're all in it together as we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're ambassadors of the Great Commission. So the next thing I want you to do is we'll split these groups even smaller now. Brian's going to throw up the challenges again. Thanks, Brian. Now, thinking about the challenges we mentioned earlier, sin, fear of man, fear of reputation, spiritual warfare, culture, idolatry, priorities, prayer, theological issues. We hear a lot in the church. Joe always preaches about we need to preach the gospel to ourselves, and the gospel is relevant now. It was relevant when we became a Christian, and it's relevant today. So as we think about the gospel, how is the gospel relevant, and how does it help us in these particular issues? So what I'd like us to do is just break up into smaller groups, and we'll maybe just have a representative stand up and say, here's how the gospel addresses this. So, for instance, sin, that's kind of a broad thing, but let's say, for instance, jealousy is holding us back from sharing the gospel. If we believe the gospel is relevant and you wanted to kind of process through that, you could think of, well, we believe that God is holy and that God is a creator, and he created me the way that he did for a reason, and he created them the way he did for a reason. My sin of jealousy, is an offense to God. But Jesus Christ has taken my sin. My sin's been placed on him. All of those jealous thoughts, all of those bitter thoughts have been placed on Christ. And so now I have freedom in Christ. I have hope in him. I don't have to be weighed down by the guilt of those feelings. And I can share the gospel, and I can move forward in that area. So think about it. How do we as Christians move forward when we face one of these? So maybe you guys could tackle fear, and then you guys could tackle spiritual. So over-spiritualizing and under-spiritualizing. How do we deal with that? You guys, maybe right in here, you guys deal with culture, and you guys just do priorities. And then one person will stand up and share. So appoint one person to stand up, and we'll give like 5 minutes to talk about it. Thanks for sharing all those things and being brave and speaking in front of us all. Wonderful. The next part of this practical portion is going to involve practicing sharing the gospel with each other. Now, the rationale behind this, if you think about, if you go to school, you take a speech class, you'll speak in front of everybody. If in school you write papers and your teachers will grade them and they'll tell you how to become a better writer. And in fellowship too, we talk about God and we share verses with each other and we help each other become more biblical in our worldview. So in a minute, we're going to share with each other. Kyle, can you come up here and help me out? I didn't actually ask him before this, but this will just be a little practice. So you can kind of see. Yeah. Awesome. So I'll come up here. First off, I want to give you guys these. Brian Malcolm made these. So this is just just to remind you the core outline of the gospel message. And so we'll use this too at the end of our time together. 2, 3, 4, here you go. Okay. So, practical application. Oopsie. Almost fell down there. No. So Kyle's going to be the non-Christian. So what I want you to do is think in your mind of a non-Christian friend, that family member that you would like to talk to, that you want to share the gospel with. Often, just practicing like this can be really helpful. It can show you your own weaknesses. Like the other day, Rach and I were driving, and she was the non-Christian secular humanist who didn't believe in God, and I was the Christian trying to share the gospel with her. And I saw some of my own weaknesses, and it was very helpful. So practicing it is helpful. I remember another rationale for this. I had a really difficult meeting once, and I had to go speak to somebody, and I was very nervous about what I would say. And it was an interview on the phone. And my brother did a mock interview with me, and he pretended to be the interviewer, and he listened, and he gave me advice. So in doing this, listen to each other, encourage each other, and we're all learning together. We're all just in this together. No one's an expert. So there are some tips, though, I want you to consider. As we do this, it's good to ask lots of questions. When you're talking to your non-Christian friends about the gospel, it's good to find out where they're at. So ask them lots of questions and listen actively. That's another tip. Don't just wait for your turn to talk, which I do a lot. Speak from truth and experience. Somebody up here, I think Laura, you were talking about that. Speak from your heart. As we share the gospel with others, we do believe that the gospel has changed us, that knowing God makes a real difference in our life. So it's okay to say that, knowing Jesus is more wonderful than anything. But if you only say that, they may think it's just subjective, like, oh, it's good for you, but not good for me. So you also want to experience or speak truth. This is the truth, regardless of what people think. Avoid rabbit trails. The person you're talking to may take you on a rabbit trail and say, I believe in science, so I can't believe in God. let's talk about the Big Bang and the astronomy, and pretty soon you've talked about science for 2 hours, which is a good topic as well. But often those rabbit trails can lead you away from sharing the gospel. So, and recognize smoke screens. Sometimes people will say, yeah, I can't believe in the gospel because I believe in science. And oftentimes they'll throw up excuses, but really they're using these to avoid dealing with the gospel. So, so for instance, Kyle's going to be my non-Christian buddy. We'll go back a few years to when I was teaching middle school. He's my middle school friend and middle school teacher friend, not my middle school friend.
Oh, he didn't clarify.
My middle school educator friend. So we just had a day at school. Now we're at Cane's, which they had in Las Vegas, eating some chicken wings, drinking some really good lemonade. And Kyle knows I'm a Christian. And I told him I would love to like get together and talk to him. So Kyle, thanks for hanging out with me, man. And so I'm a Christian, and I wanted to talk to you about the gospel, about Christianity. And I'm wondering, what do you believe?
About what?
What do you believe about God?
Kind of, you know, I have the perspective of I'm a cool cat. I'm nice to people. Mm-hmm. Nice to me. You get what you deserve.
Why do you believe there's no God? How did you come to that point? Have you always thought that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't grow up in church or anything like that. My dad was a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He did well for himself, and that's just kind of how we were raised.
Have you put a lot of thought into your beliefs, or does it make a big impact everyday life?
Nah, I kind of do what I do.
Okay. Well, Kyle, I wanted to tell you about God and
which one?
The one who made the universe. And so this God, there is a God out there, and he created the world, and he created us to know him. And to love him and to give him glory. And we are messed up, though, man. Our sin has corrupted us and broken our relationship with God. And what sin is it's breaking God's laws. You see, God made us to know him, but we've rejected him. We've chosen other gods. And that has made it so that we can't know him rightly. And it's broken our relationship with God and with each other. But God is merciful, and he sent his son Christ to die for us. That if we believe in him, and we trust in him, we can be right with God, and we can know him. And when you come to realize that, you believe, and you know him. But this is the gospel message. And so it's true, Kyle, and I want you to know it. So, I don't know, what do you think, man? What do you think as you hear all that?
For you? Cool. Like, that has nothing to do with me.
Okay.
Like, if that's what you believe, that's all right. You know, I don't know, like, which, you know, there's, what, like, 300,000 gods or whatever? Like, everyone's got a different god.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you believe, that's cool.
So, then I would respond and we would, it's good. So, maybe there's some things you would have, you might have liked, or you might have thought could have been done better. So I used some words that, looking back, I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't have used, you know, glory, or I should have explained sin better. But it's good to practice. And so what I'd like you to do now is we're going to pair off, and I want you to practice. Spend 5 minutes, one person share the gospel, then give feedback. Maybe you used too much Christian jargon, and you didn't communicate very well. Maybe you weren't listening very actively. And then switch off. So use this card, and you don't have to go all the way through it. I just did so you could kind of see it. Maybe just talk about God. Maybe just talk about sin or Christ. And so let's do that. I want to wrap up our time with a challenge and just kind of some encouragement. So firstly, I would like to challenge you guys, as we've had this hour and 45 minutes or so together, personally, as you think about it, I want you to think about, how is God calling me to grow in the area, discipline of evangelism? What areas of sin are hindering me from sharing the gospel with others? And how does the gospel address this? So as you think about our time together, what is hindering you from sharing the gospel with others? How do you most hope to grow in evangelism? Secondly, I would encourage you to plan. Sometimes it's just a matter of planning, isn't it? Reorient your schedule in order that you may be able to connect with non-Christians. Sometimes it's just planning an event. Have a barbecue and invite your non-Christian friends to come over. One thing that's been suggested is, if you don't know any non-Christians, join some sort of group. Like, you could join a book club. For me, I like to write songs, so I'll play at open mic nights. And so that's a way for me to connect with non-Christians. So plan. Nextly, I'd like you guys to, this is the challenge here, is to commit. Commit to step out in faith. Pray daily for three individuals and share the gospel with one of them this month. And for that, I want you to take your card right here and flip it over. And we'll take a moment here silently. I'd like you to pray and ask God to help you and lead you. But just write down names of three people that you know that don't know Jesus, and that you will commit to pray for every day. And Lord willing, that God will open the door. So go ahead and write down on the back of your card three non-Christians you know that you will pray for daily. And if you don't know any non-Christians, then that's something you can pray for, you know, that God would help you get to know some non-Christians. But I'm sure we all know some non-Christians somewhere. So write down those three people. Oftentimes we'll come to meetings like this or seminars, and we may be really encouraged. But then a few days later, it's kind of our encouragement has kind of waned and not much is done. One thing that's often very helpful is accountability. And so I would encourage you guys, as you want to pray for these three individuals and would like to share the gospel with them, to tell somebody and ask them to help you and to pray for you. So maybe it's your spouse or your community group, or your close friend or family member. Tell them about this and ask them to help, to encourage you, to keep you accountable, ask you if you're praying, ask you how it's going. So accountability can be very helpful in this. And finally, prayer. We want to pray that God opens doors, share the gospel with these people and with others, that our church would be a praying church or an evangelizing church, and that God would give us opportunities to share the gospel. Kind of a key verse that I forgot to mention on this is from Philemon 8, I think it is. And Paul says to Philemon, I encourage you to share the gospel, that you may know every good thing that we have in Christ. I can't remember if it's Philemon 8, but it's Philemon, just one chapter long. So there is a joy when we share the gospel with others. And what I'd like us to do as we finish is, let's take just a couple minutes silently, each of us just praying for these people. And then I'll close us and we'll call it a day. So go ahead and pray for these people. Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is, Lord, that you are our God. You are the creator of the universe, and you've opened our eyes to the gospel. Lord, we pray, we praise you, Lord, for who you are. We praise you that the gospel is true. And Father, we just we pray for these individuals on our list. God, please fill us with your Holy Spirit and empower us, God, to be bold witnesses and to speak the gospel clearly. Please lead us, Lord, by your Spirit. Use us as your ambassadors here in St. Charles. We pray, God, that the things that we've learned today, that you would really use those to shape us and to make us more like Jesus. Oh, Father, convict us and encourage us. And God, we just thank you for Jesus, who is our righteousness. All the times that we've failed in evangelism and all of our sin has been placed on Christ. And we now have his righteousness. And we praise you, Lord, for the gospel and that our righteousness is in Jesus. So I pray, Lord, for everyone here and for our church, may we be a church that seeks to bring glory to your name by proclaiming the message of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks so much for coming out, guys. Very encouraged by you all. And I hope you have a good day.